And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. And of course, that means that Susan Burns is sitting shotgun
right
today.
Yes,
Susan,
I
good
am.
Afternoon.
I'm good. I'm glad to be here to provide that genial co-host vibe.
as you always do. I'm glad to have you in the studio today. And a topic near and dear to my heart today and yours,
mine too.
I know as well.
Yes.
Libraries as drivers of success in our communities.
Yes, you know, I mean, we've other forums, people talk a lot about literacy and the importance of information and all that. But libraries are a special asset that communities have that the smart business person or person seeking employment or wanting, I mean, where do you go if you're not a student and you need to know something right now? You go to the library. So we went to the library. We have the libraries coming to us.
We're going to the library in just a moment. And before we introduce our guests, I do want to invite our listeners to join the conversation today. We want to hear how you use your library system, and we want to hear from listeners, of course, across our listening area. So do give us a call. That toll-free number is 1-800-471-9264. You can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. That's @MiddayMatters.
Yes, indeed. And I'm glad you started off with that toll-free number, because today we're going to kind of bring an idea to our Allen County listeners who may not. It's sort of a whole different world outside Allen County when it comes to libraries. And we have a couple of experts on that topic, as it turns out. We have Kelly Anger from the Adams Public Library System is
Hello.
Here with us. Hi, Kelly. And we have Ellen Stuckey from the Butler Library, which is in DeKalb County. Hi, Ellen.
Hello.
Not, as we were discussing before the show, in Indianapolis. We were talking about some some fun calls you get there occasionally, Ellen. I did want to start off this show, of course, by asking you both, and Ellen, we'll start with you. Could you just talk a little bit about the library, from whence you come? You know, what assets are you most proud of there, and what do you see as the strong points of the system?
Well, I'm the director of the Butler Public Library, and it's in Butler in DeKalb County. My library is a city library, so we don't serve a whole township or a whole county. Our county has 11 townships that have no library service or some contractional type service.
And Kelly Anger, thoughts on the Adams Library System?
My library represents Decatur and Geneva. Mm. It's two towns within Adams County. There's an additional library district, which is in Adams County. It's the Byrne Public Library. And so you can see in our particular county, we serve about not quite half of the community. The library provides a lot of service. All public libraries provide the service to students of all ages, providing that lifelong learning opportunities. We provide access to teachers and students. The businessman that comes in and checks his email or prints something off in between meetings. The job seeker who is looking for employment or looking to write a resume and those sorts of things. I think all public libraries in our area, regardless of the size, provide those services.
And of course, if you just want to check out the latest bestseller, a great place to go as well.
That's right, in print and online.
That's right.
Yeah, and that book aspect of things, I think some people had expected that, you know, the library's day is waning, and that's not, I'm seeing Ellen's eyebrows are real high about now. That's not really the case, is it?
No. Our services and our circulation grows every year. We haven't seen a dip at all. It's a great way to read a book and then bring it back. You don't have to store it.
Yeah.
And we have a wide range.
Or yeah. Buy it, right?
Yeah.
I think that we've all found that as well, that the services may change a little. It's still all about information. It's still about gathering places. It's still about those kinds of services that really aren't provided anywhere else. And our circulation has also gone up, but it's not all about checking out the books. It's the programming and things like that. So
yeah. And you all partner with literacy coalitions or alliances?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Yes, we provide the literacy instruction right at the library and have a coordinator who works with different tutors and different students and provides that service. So we have that in Adams County, throughout the county.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here, and of course we want the rest of our listeners to join the conversation. Tell us how you use and value your library system. The number, it's 1-800-471-9264, or you can always get in touch with us via email, middaymatters@nipr.fm, or via social media. Looks like we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, Sean and Susan. This may be a familiar voice to you.
Yes. Hey, thanks for calling in today.
Yes. Hey, I just want to say that the library is certainly not in its waning years. And when I used to travel multiple states and had long drives, I would utilize the library to go and get books on tape or on CD at the later years, and it was wonderful because even though you can get some podcasts that are decent and so forth, if you really want to get something from some of the top authors and you want to be able to listen to that, it can be quite expensive for somebody that's either in school or that just is less fortunate. And the library has wonderful titles, and you can check those out and listen to them and learn a tremendous amount. It's a wonderful value.
And Kevin, I have a feeling that you have a kind of a unique view on how technology has affected our world. I'm curious, in what you have seen and experienced of library systems, do you think they're keeping up?
I think that in the earlier days of technology, they maybe weren't the earliest adopters of some of the some of the newer ways that we consume that content, like being able to check out via your iPod or iPad or Android device. But they have really stepped up, and now you can even check out things without actually going to the library, which is a huge convenience again. And I can't speak highly enough about the library system because they were there when I needed them to be there for wonderful educational material.
You're getting nods around the studio here.
That's really very nice to hear the comments. So we have a lot of people who are I'm not sure whether you drive a truck, Kevin, but we have a lot of truckers who come in and they check out audiobooks. And now they can do it online no matter where they are. So that's one thing. And I've heard stories. Well, my daughter is over in, in another country, but wanted some reading materials and still had her library card and was able to check out materials. So
great.
We can see that we might not even see the people, but we know that they're using the services, and it really provides a good asset for our community, no matter where they are.
And we turn to Kevin when we want to know about website and security and many questions like that. So do you ever have any insights, Kevin, about the library websites you encounter?
Yes. I know that they have made great strides with their website and the findability. But for me, it is about having that real-time access. Well, currently, it's about me having that real-time access through a mobile device, as they're, talking about there, is that you can log in and you can check out a book or an audiobook at any one time. But again, to me, it's just about encouraging people to avail themselves of the exceptional opportunity to go and or download this high quality material. I mean, anybody can throw up a podcast these days very inexpensively. But that does not mean that the top minds are doing so, although some of them are. And some of these very well-curated pieces of information are in, you know, audio book format, and they cost hundreds of dollars, and you can get it from the library. And I just don't know why somebody would not, who is a go-getter, would not take advantage of that.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate your call, and I we know you don't drive a truck, but travel often.
Sort of a digital truck, right?
That's right.
I apologize for that, but we do have a number of people who do travel quite a bit, and that's one of their biggest interests. So.
It's a perfect companion for those long travel days. Kevin, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a very good day. It looks like we have another caller on the line before we go to break. We have Madeline on line two. Madeline, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Essentially, I feel like I grew up in the library because my mother was a reading specialist out to St. Francis, and she would dump me in that old vast library, you know, while she was going to teach.
I bet Madeline knows how a library smells right away.
Yeah. So I have a real passion, but through the years in Fort Wayne, I just watched that library grow. Because some of you may remember that real old ornate library we had on Barry before they tore that down. Mm-hmm. And that was next to the YWCA long years ago. I'm dating myself. But the library has expanded so as far as like the gentleman called in set with the audio books and so forth and the research and, you know, all the tutorial services and workshops they provide. I just love the library because now, even if I didn't know how to do something like on my Android, and I didn't quite know all the new technology, I can always ask someone in young adult services, you know.
Yes.
And the e-readers, oh, I just love my e-reader and the iPods. And what's so fabulous now is they offer homeschooling assistance, you know, for these parents who are homeschooling their children. Mm-hmm. They have a homeschooling program. And, you know, many times I am in awe at the things that are offered with the workshops and all the different media. And I have to tell you, I remember when they had the poetry contest talking about how you love the library, and many times my English students would win in those contests, but I wanted to participate in the one that said, had the theme of, I love my library.
Well,
thank you. This is a good topic.
Thank you, Madeline. And before we let you go here, Madeline, because we're talking about, you know, libraries as a driver of success in communities, I want to ask, what do you think you would be missing, the community would be missing without those resources? Because you've certainly made the case for loving the library, as I think we all do. What do you think you would be missing? You mentioned your students would be missing.
Well, I don't teach anymore. I retired in my 50s. But the thing is, I would miss the entertainment. I would miss the activity. I had students to tell me, why don't you just take a cot and move down there? But nevertheless, there's so much interaction with the films that they offer, like on Tuesday evenings. You know, you want to go to a free film. Everything is there. There's entertainment. And if you are a tightwad, oh my goodness, you know, everything is in your library. It is a cultural cornucopia. It really is. And, you know, some of you, of course, I know you read Ray Bradbury's book in regards to Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the book burning. And if you think about that, and the censorship of materials, oh, we would be at such a tremendous loss, because the library not only is a threshold of material, but it helps one to expand himself or herself. And you know, I can't say enough about a library.
Oh, Madeline, thank you so much for your call. I think you've, like Kevin, have everybody smiling in the studio.
I think Kelly might be slightly blushing.
Madeline, have a good day. Thank you. All right. We do need to take a break in just a moment here, but we do want to hear from more of our listeners. And, of course, thanks to Kevin Mullett for calling in and for Madeline. Now we want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In the United States today, more than a dozen states allow corporal punishment in schools. Spanking, in other words, usually with a wood or plastic paddle. There's no shortage of debate. Advocates say the threat alone is an effective deterrent. Critics say it's not only abusive, it doesn't work. I'm Neil Cohn, the paddle in the classroom. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
After your daily entree of TV, talk, phoning, and texting, push the envelope. Have the salad last. Toss jazz salad, that is, with me, Bob Mayer, Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 on 89.1 WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
Good afternoon. It's 12:25. You're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. And of course, that means that Susan Burns is with us in studio for this Financial Focus edition of the program.
Yes.
And today we're talking about libraries as drivers of success in your community. We want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment for Kelly Anger, or Ellen Stuckey, give us a call. The number is 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet @middaymatters. And we've had a number of people tweeting already. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, though, we have a few callers on the line. So let's go to John on line one. John, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Yes, this is John Pierce. I'm a school board member for Fort Wayne Community Schools.
Hi, John.
Hi there, and I just want to recognize the outstanding work that our libraries do in supporting our efforts to educate all kids to high standards, and in particular, some of your outreach that you do. I know that, for example, that Pamela Martin Diaz is an expert in early childhood learning, and you have a new outreach program called, I think, Talk, Read, Write, Sing, and Play, and wondered if you could talk a little bit about that. And second, I'm not sure we all realize what an asset we have because ours is a countywide system and some surrounding counties don't have that advantage.
Thank you very much, John. And that's actually that is one of the issues we wanted to touch on today.
Yeah, and part of why we invited Kelly and Ellen to come, because you're actually fairly fresh from a summit in Indianapolis on that very countywide system topic.
Right. I wanted to point out one of the things that John said was that the library here in Allen County was doing some outreach programs, and that's also something that we most public libraries do. We work with preschools and provide a lot of assistance with the preschools and their programming, and working with really encouraging the love of reading. And also some of the outside schools, for instance, some of our Amish schools we work with as well. So those are some important services that libraries provide the community, and I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of that as well. Okay. But the issue of unserved areas in Indiana, many people don't realize that there are 37 counties that have pockets of areas that are not in a library district. In Ellen's and my county, it's over 50% of the population. There are 10 counties that have over 50% of the population outside of a library district. So it's significant when you look at those counties. And we were talking about the map of the service area, and I don't know if anybody who was on Facebook actually clicked on that and looked.
If you head to facebook.com/middaymatters, we Susan has posted a PDF, yeah. I believe, of that map. But go on, Kelly.
It looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, it does.
So those are some of the issues that our communities really deal with on an everyday basis, that some people can use the library and some people can't. And how do we work with the schools when half of the students can't use the library? And yeah. Those kinds of issues come up.
They can use the library, but they need to have a library card to check things out.
So they can come in, mm-hmm. and because I was thinking, sure. Thinking about the use of libraries as a site for delivery of some state services now, some of the job application and even some of the benefits registration. Does that happen?
There are so many of the state services that are being pushed online, and rightly so. They're more efficient that way, and they have a greater ability of reaching people at various different hours. But they also say, go to your public library and use the services, file for unemployment at the libraries, pick up your tax forms, look for those sorts of things. And so a large part of our service is to provide those e-government services, whether the person who walks in the library is in the district or not.
Well, and not just that, but provide many sometimes disparate services in a central location as well.
Right, right.
Looks like we have another caller on the line here. I do want to get back to the Swiss cheese map in a few moments here. But right now we have Kathy on the line. Kathy, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I actually live in one of those unserved counties. And as Ellen said, you can go to the library. You simply cannot check out the books or the materials or any of the other activities that are available there. You have to have a library card. I'm fortunate that I can pay my share of the library card, but many people cannot. And so because my township does not pay into the library district, I am denied those services. I found interesting statistic from the Indiana Library Association that 30% of Hoosier homes do not have home computers. That's a third of the population that do not have access to a computer. And if you're trying to file for unemployment insurance, or if you're trying to get your taxes filed or get your license plates, you don't have any way to do that except go to the library. Now, certainly the libraries provide the services, and they're free of charge to anybody who walks in the door. But at some point, the library has to be supported by funding. And that's the dirty word in all of this, is where do you get the money to provide the services? And in Indiana, that money comes from property taxes. and in the unserved counties. The unserved areas are predominantly rural with large landholders who are unwilling, uninterested in paying additional property taxes just so some of those poor kids in town can go to the library. And if I sound a little bitter, it's because I am. We've fought this battle in our community for several years and have run up against brick walls. In this day and age, it really is unconscionable that every child in the state cannot go to a public library and check out materials.
All right. Kathy, thanks very much for your call. There's a lot there. I want to put it to our panel. And Ellen Stuckey, does this, this sounds familiar, I think.
Well, yes. We have 11 townships that don't pay a library tax. Library taxes aren't that big. They're kind of, they're just smaller mm-hmm. percentage. You know, when you think tax, you think school taxes or other type of expenses. But library taxes aren't that much, and but for property owners, that's a sticking point for them. But it's so important that all the children have access, and the children before they're even in kindergarten, the pre-literacy work that mother and dad have to do and their caretakers have to do is really important.
And we've talked a lot about the technological advances that libraries have taken up, but Kelly Anger, this is a staggering statistic. There are so many people who can't access those technologies and use the library as well a primary access point for those things.
30%, I would say that's probably right. What we found, one of the things that we found is that as our high schools and as our school systems are issuing the devices, one-to-one laptops or iPads, which in our community, every one of the schools are, it does create a different situation where the students don't necessarily have the internet access, or they don't have high-speed internet, that they can come to the library, because we are obligated, we are, as part of our standards, obligated to provide the service. We want to provide the service, mm-hmm. but it does set that situation up where some people are subsidizing that for others who just because of the way the libraries were established are not in the library district.
We're talking today about libraries as economic drivers and drivers of success in communities. We're also talking a bit about unserved and underserved areas in our counties. We want to hear from you today. We want to hear if you are in one of those communities, or if you just like to tell us about your experience with the library and how you use it, give us a call. The number is toll-free. It's 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We are going to take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. This is Midday Matters.
To advance in the military or federal government, you need a security clearance. And for that, you need to reveal whether you've ever seen a mental health professional.
You shouldn't lose your security clearance because someone raped you in the military and you sought counseling.
Rethinking a controversial clearance question today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOY News. Governor Mitch Daniels has directed that flags across Indiana be lowered to half-staff today in honor of Patriot Day and the National Day of Service and Remembrance commemorating the September 11th terror attacks. Daniel's office says the move is in accordance with a directive from President Barack Obama. The president's directive also includes a call to all Americans to observe a moment of silence at 8:46 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The University of St. Francis announced Monday it will buy another historic Fort Wayne building. As WBOI Sean Beter reports, it's the university's second big purchase downtown in less than a year.
The university will buy the Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce building on Ewing Street. After renovations, the building will house USF's Keith Bussey School of Business. Last November, university officials announced the purchase of the nearby Scottish Rite building to house its new media entrepreneurship program. University President Sister Elise Chris says the purchase is another win for St. Francis, the Chamber, and downtown Fort Wayne.
We just are excited about that potential of what it can do for our students and what it can do for downtown Fort Wayne to bring our students in closer proximity to the downtown and all that's happening down here. And I know those young people are going to want to be here. That's kind of the trend today with young people, to want to be where the action is in downtown.
Officials say the deal should close in 4 to 5 weeks and would not disclose the purchase price. For WBOI News, I'm Sean Beter.
For the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, it was win or go home last night in the final game of the Eastern Division playoffs at Lake County, Ohio. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the results.
The Tin Caps are Eastern Division champions. In the deciding game of the three-game series, the Tin Caps scored a run in the second inning, and Kyle Goodell's third-inning bases-loaded double added three more for an early 4-0 lead. But Lake County answered with four runs in the home half of the third to tie the game. Fort Wayne broke the game open in the sixth inning, sending 12 batters to the plate, and with six hits, two walks, and a captain's error, scored six runs and took a 10-4 lead. Travis Whitmore's home run in the seventh inning increased the Tin Caps' lead to 11-4. Lake County scored two runs in their eighth inning to close to 11-6, but Yason Asensio homered with a runner on in Fort Wayne's eighth, and the Tin Caps win 13-6. The win puts the Tin Caps into the championship series for only the second time in the franchise's 20-year history. Fort Wayne will meet the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers for league championship. This is a best 3 out of 5 game series. It'll start Wednesday night with two games in Appleton, Wisconsin, and games 3, 4, and 5, if that many are needed, at Parkview Field. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
Ball State economist Michael Hicks says national research suggests that at the height of the recession, nearly 13,000 Hoosiers might have been putting off a job search because of the extended length of time unemployment benefits are available. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, Hicks cautions against a knee-jerk reaction to a problem that may not have a significant impact.
Hicks says the problem with the research is that it doesn't drill down geographically. The estimate of nearly 13,000 Hoosiers using extended unemployment benefits as an excuse to avoid a real job search is based off national data from economists at Princeton. The Ball State economist says it's likely not as serious in Indiana for a variety of reasons, including the specialized manufacturing nature of the workforce. Still, Kokomo Republican Senator Jim Buck says it's an issue that deserves consideration.
It's definitely a concern to the employers because they're paying the unemployment premium. But while it was designed originally as a safety net, it's become a platform.
A possible solution is stricter state scrutiny over the types of jobs those on unemployment are applying for, so that, for instance, high school dropouts aren't applying to be college professors just to say they're looking for a job. But Hicks says that carries its own issues.
Those also have costs. There are administrative costs associated with them. It requires the state hiring more people or buying more software.
Hicks says he cautions against changing the unemployment system too much in the wake of such a significant recession. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Auditors reviewing $526 million in tax errors by the Indiana Department of Revenue say they might have answers for lawmakers by December. Auditors for the accounting firm Deloitte briefed members of the State Budget Committee Monday on a risk assessment they've completed. They said they expect to begin their audit this week. The Revenue Department discovered in December it had lost track of $320 million in corporate tax collections. 4 months later, the state also discovered it had not paid $206 million in local income taxes owed to counties. And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
It's about 20 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, and this is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, for this financial focus edition of our program. Joining us in studio, Kelly Anger and Ellen Stuckey. We're talking about libraries today and the value of libraries in creating success in our communities. We do want to hear from you today, so please do give us a call and tell us how you use your library or how you may not if you're in an unserved community. The number is 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We are at Midday Matters. We do have a caller on the line, so let's get to Pamela. Pamela, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello. It's so great to hear you talking about libraries in the context of financial success. It's not a connection that's usually made. But one of the things we've learned from research lately, I am a public librarian, is the connection between early learning, early literacy, and later success in school. There's almost a direct line that can be drawn from kids' early experiences with books and finger plays and songs that gets them ready for school. And we know that children who start out behind often don't catch up. So when we talk about parents needing to talk, read, write, sing, and play with their kids, it's all to help them to get ready to read. Now, we librarians don't teach kids how to read, but we do introduce them to the wonders and joys of books and songs and all of that, which sets them on the right path as they head off to school. So it's kind of libraries as value-added, I think you could say. It's not just about offering things. It's also going out there and, you know, taking our story times to child care centers, for example. Here in Allen County, we have librarians going to WIC, where we talk with women about the important men that are with them, actually any family member, about the importance of sharing books and communicating and growing vocabularies and background knowledge to help their kids get a right, you know, put the right step forward as they head off to school. It's such good work. And what's been really interesting is to see how research has confirmed what we've done all along. Many of us who went to story time when we were little, we just thought they were fun, which is great.
I mean, I wouldn't argue
fun,
with that.
You know, It's really exciting to learn as a librarian that we've been spot on all this time, that we didn't know really then why we were doing what we were doing, but what we were doing was exactly what educational experts say kids need to have a foundation to get ready to read. So I feel very, you know, bad about the people in the surrounding counties that don't have access to libraries. It seems like such a terrible thing to not have a library that's openly accessible and free, tax supported. It's not free.
That's right.
Yeah, we always remind, it's like, yeah, it's not, nothing is really free. It just feels free unless you bring your books back late. But that's
that's another matter.
Here in Allen County, we're just really, really fortunate that, you know, all of the townships in Allen County pay into the tax base that supports our public library. So we're very fortunate indeed.
And Pamela, I have to ask, I mean, despite that support, what is your outlook long-term for the library system, say, in Allen County? Do you, obviously, every system has challenges. Do you see Allen County staying ahead of them?
Well, we have had challenges because of changing things around with the tax base, and, you know, we have a constricting budget. But we've been able to, we have really strong senior administrators and a board who have, through attrition, we haven't had to lay workers off, so that's good. We still have a strong materials budget. We still buy, I call them books, for lack of a better word. And, of course, e-books and e-things. We're constantly, I think public libraries have been reinventing. We've been reinventing ourselves over through time.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think we're looking more and more at us as a kind of as a destination, as what some people refer to as the third place. It's neither home nor work, where you can go and talk with people, meet with people. Of course, use technology. The downtown library supports the tech venture. lab that's in the parking lot across from the main library. One of your earlier callers was rhapsodizing about the movies, you know, the music, all those kinds of things that, you know, people come to the library seeking those things. And I'm optimistically hopeful, you know, that we can even as people use more and consume more and more e-products, that they'll still want to go to another place to be with other people that are like-minded, you know, mm-hmm. readers and thinkers and creators and makers mm-hmm. and computer users and children. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about library services to children. I think in many ways that's our bread and butter. You know, we're continuing to create a generation of library users. But then I'm hopeful by nature, so what can I say?
Pamela, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and keep up the good work. I have thought many times of story time as I've sat in company meetings or college lecture halls. It's that sitting still while the story unfolds is a vital skill.
Pamela does bring up a good point. That full participation in Allen County keeps the system strong. But when we're talking about unserved communities and that lack of participation, Kelly Inger, how do libraries survive? How do libraries in those counties survive?
I think the question is, or should be, how do those who are not in the library district, how can they have guaranteed service? How can they also make use of the services fully? And it's a little bit different question. Mm-hmm. And the libraries can expand districts by a township advisory vote or by commissioner's vote. We have found in our communities and in the surrounding counties as well, that the people who can make that decision are not as likely to vote for it because they're more likely to be larger landowners. Hmm. And so that's where we have found it to be difficult, because the full access isn't there, and it's not available to everybody in the communities. The what she was talking about with the reading is absolutely vital. With trying to get children in our community to learn those pre-literacy skills, and Ellen talked about it too, just to develop those before they get to school. I've worked with an adult to help him learn how to read, and that's what he said. I went to kindergarten, I didn't know how to read, and I was already behind. And so if we can get to everyone in the community, I think our children in our communities will be stronger.
Yeah. Looks like we've got we've had a few tweets going on from earlier in the program. Just wanted to say, Kit says regarding e-materials, that OverDrive is an incredible resource for audiobooks and e-books. That's of course the system that serves those digital devices. Mm-hmm. And we do have an email here as well from Tamara. Tamara says, I live in an unserved area in Adams County and am a librarian. Our township will pay the full non-resident fee, so I'm fortunate, but still have to contact the trustee, get a voucher, and do this every year, which some people won't or cannot do. It's sad as the economy continues to struggle and libraries are busier than ever, that budgets continue to shrink. And she mentions that property tax caps have hurt public libraries as well. And we mentioned earlier in the program that more people are coming to the library. There are more people seeking out whichever resources they can in the library system, but budgets are tight and the economy continues to recover very slowly. Do you see this, Ellen Stuckey, this impact continuing long term on libraries? I mean, will libraries continue to struggle with these issues?
Well, I believe we will. I also believe that libraries are great equalizers between the haves and the have-nots. There is so much they can come in to the library and use and access. But budgets are always going to be that way. I don't think I was really surprised how the assessed valuations keep going lower and lower, which really makes our budget smaller because of the property tax caps. Mm-hmm. And I would have never imagined that was going to happen when that was up for votes. So I think some of these things are really a surprise.
Right. I would say also with the library districts that are the smaller districts, the, particularly those that are bound by municipal limits, are experiencing a higher percentage of tax caps because of the city. You have various other tax rates that are within the city itself, and so that's where you experience most of the tax caps, and it, it has affected our bottom lines, and it has affected our ability to provide the services that we need to provide. And yet, at the same time, libraries are about serving their communities. So I think Pamela said, you know, we have changed so many ways in so many ways over the course of our histories, and really, that's one of our major functions, is to serve our communities. Yeah. So,
and listening as we have callers call in, and there's a kind of a different paradigm with Allen County being a countywide system. How did we get in Allen County to the state where we're countywide? Do you know, Kelly?
The library itself has been in existence for a long time. There was the Fort Wayne Public Library, which existed. There was a county contractual, it's called a county contractual in Allen County. And that system served the people outside of the town of Fort Wayne. It was really a combined system, but their tax rate was lower. And so everyone, I think, thinks of the Allen County Public Library as being in existence for many, many years. And yet those two libraries, those two administrative beings, were consolidated in legislation in 1979. So it hasn't really been Allen County Public Library since. It's only been 30-some years.
And just a few minutes left, excuse me, in the program here. We do have another caller on the line. Let's go to Diane. Diane, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. I'd like to say how grateful I am for the downtown library. I live within a mile and can walk or bike down there, and grateful for the computers. And one thing I'm spreading the news about is your 25-cent shelf for five per dollar, because I'm habitually late on getting my books back on time and always have a library fine. So if you could talk about that, where the books come from, and I'd be grateful. More. Thanks.
Diane, thank you very much for the call. And of course, we were talking a little bit off the air about a lot of the costs that go into a library. Diane just mentioned, where do you get the books? That, along with technology fees, staffing, those are real costs built into the library operations.
Right. Our basically most of the funds of our operating budget go towards staffing. So I know it generally ranges from maybe 58% to 70% of what libraries spend goes into staffing, and that's providing those services and the programming and cataloging and preparing things for circulation. Also, probably 15% goes to the purchase of materials like books and ebooks.
Yeah, you were saying in the break that we were asking about internet costs for school kids, and you were saying that's actually a small cost that maybe is not, it's almost comparable to the paper towels and the toilet paper in the restroom.
What I was saying was that the internet cost, it is a small cost, and we do receive some state funds and some E-rate funding for it. What we found, and many libraries like Ellen's and Andrews, which is in Huntington County, there are a number of other libraries, but we found that the costs, that we've had to increase our bandwidth, and so we have bared the cost of that service. But it's not just that, because the kids are coming in, they're asking questions, you're interacting with them, you're providing staff help, you're providing electricity, you're providing, so the cost isn't just what the internet connection is, it's far greater.
Oh, darn, they're learning.
Yes, they're learning.
So, and we have an email, Sean, from Lloyd, it looks like.
That's right, Lloyd. Lloyd says, we live in a rural community and love our local library very much. They're currently using the Evergreen system. We've heard from a family member who's a librarian that some of the larger libraries, like Columbia City or Fort Wayne, may not participate in these book lending programs outside their communities. Could your panel discuss the issues behind these attitudes and some potential solutions or perhaps programs that are being considered to make them less territorial? Is there territoriality, competition between libraries in, say, different counties, and is there a move toward cooperation?
Alan's pointing to me. We are both Evergreen. We represent Evergreen Libraries, mm-hmm. and Evergreen is a consortium of over 100. It's 100 public libraries, the state library, and a few others. And we do share our resources. What is available in my collection can be checked out by one of Ellen's patrons or somebody from Zionsville or Jackson County or whatever. That part is good. There are other opportunities for people in the state of Indiana. If they don't happen to be in one of those library districts, they can purchase a public library access card, which would allow them to use other libraries as well. And then there are some that, you know, just across the state, there are reciprocal agreements between different libraries. So in most cases, well, in every case, because that's one of our standards, your public library has to have a reciprocal agreement with another library. So I would say just ask the library, because very likely they have an agreement with a nearby library.
There is some way that Lloyd could check out a book from somewhere else.
Correct. Yeah, and in all libraries, also we provide an interlibrary loan service. So if it's not something that's available in the collection or in your consortial collection, you can get it somewhere else.
Yeah, but sometimes that involves the purchase of a card or yes. some sort of access
right.
fee.
Right.
I see.
Well, we have just about 2 minutes left in the program here, but I want to get back briefly to this issue of unserved areas. What are the next steps here? As librarians. Librarians, what do you all hope can happen next? How do you get to serving some of these unserved communities? And Ellen, we can start with you. Ellen's pointing to Kelly here. Kelly.
We have been talking with different libraries that have the same problem, and there are 37 counties in Indiana who have unserved areas. There are 30 counties that are countywide library systems, and the rest of them are maybe two or three libraries, but they cover their whole county. Mm-hmm. So it's the 37 that we're kind of focusing and working with. Kelly can tell
and
you.
I think what we would encourage people to do is that, you know, they have the opportunities. Some of them have been tried already, talking with their township advisory boards. But also, you should talk with your legislators and really say, I want to have library service. It's very important for my community, for the growth of my community, for the lifelong learning opportunities. How can we get this?
Yeah, and there's some studies out there. I know you can probably go ask your local librarian to help you find them, but graduation rates are up. It helps with economic development.
Right. Yes. It certainly provides that opportunity and I think gives a boost to education. And you find in those areas that there are higher levels of secondary education degrees and things like that.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. But Kelly Anger, Ellen Stuckey, thank you very much for being with us on Midday Matters today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Susan, thank you for being with us as well.
Thanks
to our listeners for tuning in, calling in, and writing. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI, Fort Wayne. It's 1 o'clock.